Nice to see you all here this morning. So this week is week 3 in our series of Being the Church. And so today we're looking at what is our mission. But before we do, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, it is so good for us to be here this morning. So good for us to come together as your people, the people of God, gathered together to worship you, to encourage each other, to pray, to learn, to support. Lord, as we hear a message from your word this morning, I pray that it won't just be empty words that we hear, but I pray that it might be your spirit speaking to us. And I ask you to open our hearts and our minds and our ears and our eyes so that we can take on board the things that you're saying to us, so that they can be things that will challenge us in our own lives and in the life of our church. And we pray this in the power and the name of Jesus. Amen. So most organisations and businesses today have what they call a mission statement. So it's a short statement that describes the aims and the values of a company, or could be an organisation or an individual. So some examples of this are Walmart, a company like Kmart. Theirs is to save people money so they can live better. Sounds pretty good. Starbucks, the cafe chain, their statement is to inspire and nurture the human spirit, one person, one cup, and one neighbourhood at a time. You have Sony, to be a company that inspires and fulfills your curiosity. And good old Coca-Cola, theirs is to refresh the world, to inspire moments of optimism and happiness, to create value and make a difference. Now, they all sound pretty good, don't they? If they lived up to those, you'd think that they were all pretty good. As a church, we also have a mission statement, and ours is to be a Christ-centered community, growing in faith and sharing the gospel with others. Sounds good? Sounds good, just like those other ones do. But what does it really mean? I mean, it's great to have a mission statement, something that describes our aims and our values. But what do any of the mission statements really mean? How do they affect who we are? How do they affect what we do? Because if they don't, well, then they're just a bunch of empty words. They sound good, they might inspire you, they might motivate you to buy Coca-Cola or Sony or shop at Walmart, but really, at the end of the day, they're just a bunch of words. We've been considering what it means for us to be the church. We've been looking at the why and the what, because those things are important. They lead us to the how. And that's why we've been spending time looking at those things, things that many of you, I know, would already be familiar with. But I'm going to recap some of that stuff because it's important, because it informs the how, and the rest of the stuff that we'll talk about is a bit meaningless without the why. So the first week we looked at being the church. Who was the church? Not an institution, not a religion, and definitely not a building. But it's a people. People who've chosen to put their trust in God and to follow in the words and the ways of Jesus Christ. And we've discovered that the mission of those people, broadly, is to glorify God and make him known. The first people that God created, he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Glorify God by how? Making him known by caring for what he's made, by helping it grow. To the Israelites, the next people of God, they were told to be a light to the nations. A light to the nations, a blessing to the people around them. That was how they were intended to glorify God and make him known. Now, this command also carried forward to the new people of God, the people of God that were a combination of Jews and Gentiles, that encompassed all people. And we know that that carried forward because Paul tells us in Acts 13, 47, He says, God gave us, the church, God gave us this command. Command when he said, I have made you to be a light to the Gentiles. I have made you to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth. That's us. Jesus said his people and the church would show the world the glory of God and make him known by loving God and others, by making disciples of all nations, by doing the good things that Jesus planned for us to do long ago, and by declaring the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. All sound good, inspiring. But how do we do that? How do we best do these things? I mean, how do you best love God and others? How do you make disciples? How do you do the good things God's planned? We do it by embodying the gospel, by letting the good news of Jesus Christ be evident in our everyday life through the things we say, through the things that we do, because that is the overarching mission of God, the overarching mission of his people. It's the why, it's the what, and it's the how. But I want us this morning to look at how we, as an individual small church community, do the how. How do we do these things? How do we make our mission statement become a reality? Now, I'm sure if I put that out to you, you would all have different things, different suggestions. And if you look at the 94-year history of this church, you would see that there's been lots of different ways that that's come about. But let's just think for a moment about who we are. Who are we? We're sons and daughters of God. We've been brought into God's family through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the one who made it possible for us to know God, to have that relationship with God, who enabled us to live every day, not in our own strength, but in the presence and the power of God's Spirit. That's who we are as individuals. And it's a fairly empowering, privileged position. But who are we collectively? See, because it's not about, we're not the person of God, we're the people of God. It's a plural, it's a community. So who are we as a community? Well, last week we saw that we're a small family-sized church, that we have a diversity of culture and age, that we have a non-hierarchical team of leaders who share the decision-making and the leading of our church. We saw that we are a friendly, inclusive, empowering, outward-looking, kingdom-focused church, and that we belong to a wider family of churches that we call the Baptist Association. Again, I think that's a pretty impressive list. But I want to say that none of those things are an accident. See, God has designed us to look like this. If you look around, it's probably not how we would have designed it. The people who are sitting here today, it's probably not who you or I might have thought to invite. But none of it's by accident. God has brought together intentionally people from different backgrounds, with different gifts, with different abilities, different passions, different life experience. And he's done that for a reason. He's done that so that together we can make Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God known to the people around us. If we were all the same age, all the same ethnicity, all passionate about the same thing, all have the same gifts, the same abilities, the same experience in life, there'd only be a very small selection of people in this community that we'd be able to relate to, or that would be able to relate to us. So what did God do? He's created this hybrid church, this group of people who look like the people in our community. God has very intentionally shaped us to be like this so that we can make him known. So how do we do that? Simple. We follow the example of the one we follow. Do you get that? We follow the example of the one that we follow. And who's that? It's Jesus. And can I say, the more I read through the Gospels, the more I realise how incredibly simple it should be. Jesus invited people to walk with him. He said, come, follow me. He ate with people. He spent time with people. He encouraged them to listen to what he had to say, to watch what he did. Jesus just interacted with people as part of his everyday, daily life. Simple. He invited men and women to just follow him around. And he did that so that through his life, through what he did and what he said, they would be able to see and understand and learn about God. And then through that process, they'd be able to make a decision about whether or not they wanted to become followers of Jesus, whether or not they wanted to learn more, whether they wanted to pursue that relationship with God that they could see being lived out. We make it so hard. We often make it just so hard for ourselves. We create these special programs and events. We put expectations on ourselves and then on each other to share the gospel in these particular ways. But then we tell others that this is the only way. And then when it doesn't really work out or it proves too hard, we feel like we failed. We feel like we're not a good witness when people don't choose to come to those events or when they don't choose to make a commitment for Christ. But where do we get that from? You won't find it in the Bible. Jesus doesn't tell his disciples that they've failed. He doesn't make them feel bad. When people choose to not follow Jesus, he doesn't berate them. He says, okay, it's their choice. Is he disappointed? Yes. Does he challenge them to more? Yes. The way of Jesus was to simply make himself available and accessible and to let people see the truth through his life. I would argue that that's the model that we should be following. It's simple. It's the model we should be following as individuals in our homes, our families, our workplace or with study, the people we socialise with, but it's also collectively as the church. You know, this is something that we as leaders have been really wrestling with. How do we, as the church here in West Ryde, practice this mission? Because it's not a standalone optional extra in the life of the Christian. Mission is an outworking of who we are. Mission is central to our life because it was central to God's life. Because it is central to our core beliefs and our practices. Mission sits alongside worship and discipleship in the life of the children of God. Mission flows out of a heart that is thankful, that is grateful for the gift of Jesus, that has a desire to see others enjoy this gift for themselves. Mission is for every one of us. No matter who you are, no matter how old you are, no matter how long you've been part of this church, each one of us sitting here this morning has a role to play in that mission. It's going to look different. It will look different for every one of us. Depending on your stage of life, depending on your work and your family commitments, depending on your gifts and abilities, even your passions and experience, each one of us will have a different role to play. But it's our individual contributions together that make the difference. So to help us figure this out, to help us figure out the how of our mission, the leaders have been looking at other church communities and the way they do mission. We've been talking with leaders in the Baptist Association, with lecturers at Morling College. We've attended seminars. We've done lots of reading. We've spent lots of time in prayer. And more recently, Paria and I engaged in a series of workshops that were organised by the association to help churches better engage in local mission. Now, they chose 8 churches to offer this to, and thankfully we were one of those 8 churches. And as part of that, we had to discern what we thought were the felt needs in this local community. And so to do that, we talked with local people, we did surveys, we did questionnaires, we had lots of conversations with English class students, with the local community, with church leaders, as well as with people in this church. We then had to consider, as a church, how could we work with the local community to meet some of the needs that we'd identified? And as our community leader, I'm going to get Paria to come up here now and just share with you some of what we learnt from these workshops and these conversations. Come on down.
Hi everyone, my name is Paria. I'm one of the leaders here at this church. Christine asked me to just talk about some of the things that we discovered through the community engagement workshops. But firstly, I would like to start with my experience when I recently came to Westride to live. That time, I didn't know the suburb, people, or how can I get involved in something? Till I came to the Westride Community Church and I saw the nice hospitality from Cameron, from others, and I found out about the programs. And even except the Sunday service, I still could spend my time during the week here and not much feeling lonely anymore. And also, I could make lots of friends, and I wasn't feeling lonely, you know, and I had a friend, I could spend time with them as well. I was totally feeling the whole community was welcoming me, as I was feeling so good in that time. And my confidence go up. Yeah. Okay, let's back to the things that we discovered through the community engagement workshops. First thing was, we look at the learning about what are the needs that people in local communities see as being needs. So this is just some of the things, not all of them, just some of them that were identified by a lot of people. People feel like they don't have connection, they want acceptance, they want feeling include something, they want to be belong. People looking at place together because they feel isolated, because their age, their language, living in units, having small children, new to country. People feel disconnected. They feel lonely. Problem getting employment when you don't have anyone, you don't know anyone in this country, it's hard for people. These are some of the needs. So at our workshops, And in talking with the community, we identified some ways that our church could help to work with the community and find some solution and meet some of these needs. Create a community space where people can meet and gather, like a cafe, shared weekly meal, small groups like reading, cooking, practice English, games, and sewing. I'd like to say my experience about sewing. Sewing curtain. 2 years ago, I bought a curtain for my kitchen from Kmart, but it was so long, and I needed to cut it and fix it. I took it to the sewing shop, and the quote they gave me to fix that, just to cut and fix the curtain, it was more than the price that I bought the curtain. Yeah, and I wasn't able, you know, to pay that money that time. But finally, my friend, thanks her, she helped me for that, and she fixed it. I wish that we can have a sewing group here, and people can use it for their needs and also learn how to sewing. And some other space, like having community garden for the people in community, backyard play area, shower, washing machine, and meal for homeless, and opportunity for traineeship and work experience. Yeah, I'd like to say that I will be more than happy to answer your questions during the morning tea. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Can I just say what an incredible advantage it's been attending these workshops with Paria, who sees what's happening in our community through such a different lens to what I do, because it's been her experience, a lot of what is being discovered as the felt needs. So she's able to bring something to it that I actually don't have. And it's been really invaluable. And again, it just feeds into this difference that God's brought into our church community here, that we all have something to offer, something to contribute that others might not have. Now, I don't know about you, but I look at this list, and for me, that is both incredibly exciting, but at the same time, it's terrifying. It's exciting because I look at that and I can see where God's leading us, and I can see this new direction that He's taking us and has been for the last few years, and I get excited at the privilege of Him asking us to join Him in this. But it's also terrifying to me because it sounds so outrageously hard. To be honest, it looks and it sounds unachievable. And it would be so easy to just walk away from that. It would be so easy as a leader to just say, you know what? We can just do Sunday gathering. We can have a couple of connect groups, a playtime. English classes are good. We can just keep doing what we're doing. But I would know that that wasn't being faithful to what God's calling us into. And so I couldn't do that. Rob and I have talked about it, but it's actually not an option. It would be really easy for you as part of this church to just walk away from that. To say, you know what, I would rather just stay safe and comfortable. I'm happy to just turn up on a Sunday, tick the Sunday box. I'm happy to be on a roster. I'll be in a connect group. It would be so easy to just keep doing that and to be telling ourselves it's okay. But I want to say to you that it's actually not okay. It's not okay. How can we even contemplate telling God no when we consider what he's given to us. When we consider how much he loves us, when we consider what he was willing to do for us, willing to sacrifice his own son on our behalf, how can we even contemplate saying, no, actually, what you're asking me is just a bit too hard? How can we contemplate telling God no when he promises that he will always be with us? He's not asking us to do this stuff on our own. He's saying, I'm there with you. When he says, I will provide all that you need, Philippians 4:19, it's a promise. When he promises to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, we look at that list and we think, good grief, how can we possibly do that? And God says, don't worry. I can do immeasurably more than you ask or even imagine. How can we say no to a God who told his people to test him and watch and see what he could do in Malachi 3:10? Saying, watch, I'm going to open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. God said, try me. Put me to the test and see what I will do. Do we have that kind of faith? Are we willing to do that, to take God at his word and move forward in faith, to step out of what we know, out of what is comfortable and safe, to follow Jesus? If this is the new direction that God is taking us in, and I believe it is, then I am convinced that God will provide us with everything and everyone that we need to make it take shape and become a reality. And now, don't for a moment think that I'm suggesting that we are going to just jump in and do all of these things, because I'm not. This is part of a plan that God is developing, and it's going to occur over time. And there'll be things that won't get done on that list, and there'll be other things that will be added in as God brings it to reality. What it needs at this stage is for us to say yes, is for us to take that mission statement of making Christ known, for us to say, yes, we will trust you and move forward in the presence and the power of God's Spirit, not because we're clever or we're rich or whatever, but because it's us being empowered by the Spirit of God, us being open to his leading and his guidance, us together willing to put our hand in God's and say, we trust you. You lead and we'll follow. As a church, in coming months, we're going to need to make some decisions. And the leaders of this church are going to be seeking your input, because God speaks to all of us. And because it's us together that we are going to bless this community with the presence of Jesus. I want to leave you with an image that, for me, I find incredibly encouraging. When I feel like it's all too hard, when I feel like what God asks is too hard, when I feel like it's just beyond my imagining. And it comes from the parable that Jesus told in Luke 13, where Jesus said, what is the kingdom of God like? What will I compare it to? It's like a tiny mustard seed that a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds made nests in its branches. We are like this tiny seed planted here in West Ryde by God, our gardener. Starts off small, But under his care, it grows into something big, into something wonderful that provides a place for people to gather, for people to feel safe, for people to find rest and welcome. We might be small, but with God's help and each other, I am in no doubt that we are going to grow into something big, into something that is beautiful, that is going to bring the presence of Jesus Christ into our community, that's going to glorify God and make him known, that's going to enable us to bring our mission statement to reality, to be a Christ-centered community that is growing in faith and sharing the good news of Jesus with others. Will you pray with me? Actually, I'm going to ask you to stand up to pray with me. Lord, we come before you knowing that you are our all-seeing, all-knowing, ever-present, all-powerful God. That you were moved by love for us, so moved that you sent your Son to die for us. And Lord, we stand before you to say thank you and to show gratitude for all that you have done and to say that we are with you in your mission of making yourself known. Lord, we are small. And it's easy to see all of the things that we lack. But instead, help us to see you and all of the things that you have, all of the things that you put at our disposal. And Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your vision, with your passion, with your desire to see the people around us come to know you. We pray for the leaders of this church, Lord. We pray for wisdom. We pray for guidance. We pray for passion and energy. We pray for every member of this church and ask that you will unite us around your vision, that people will step forward looking for how they can contribute and make you known, whether that be gifts in being able to lead a sewing group or a reading group or help host a barbecue or whatever it might be. And we pray for those in our community who don't yet know you. And we pray, Lord, that through our efforts, through your Spirit alive and at work in us, that the people around us will come to see and to know, to consider and to understand that you are God, desiring a relationship with them in the kingdom of God. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.